Hello and welcome. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Keith Coogan. I'm here with my friend Gus.
Hey, welcome back, buddy.
And this is The Call Sheet, coming to you live this Saturday night, early January. I hope everybody's doing well this New Year. How was your New Year, Gus?
New Year was good. New Year was very good. How was yours?
Oh, it was awesome. I was dodging an arsonist in Los Angeles.
How close was that to you?
Well, a few fires were blocks from my house. And where we were having New Year's, right in the middle of Hollywood, all around us, fires. There was even vigilante crowds, rumors of packs of homeowners. Like, hey, where are you going? Who are you here to see? What, you know, where you live?
Rumors of packs of crowds.
Rumors of packs of vigilante. And the, I mean, I couldn't believe the fires continued. They continued on in New Year's night and the next night. There was like four fires New Year's night and then like 12 on, the night of the first, they finally caught him.
Really?
The alleged.
It lasted 2 days?
It lasted 4 days or something. 50 fires, 51 fires.
How many days of rumored vigilante?
And he set fire to stuff in the valley, which is like, okay, go for that, dude. But Hollywood, come on.
Well, you know, I give him credit for traveling. Freeway's a bitch.
Nothing. If you live in the valley and you were offended, call in the show, 1-800-893-9562. Also, tonight, we want to start something regarding your favorite shows, your favorite TV shows. That's kind of a topic we want you to join in. Call in. The number is 800-893-9562. Call in anytime. We'll be here all night, folks.
And by all night, you mean 1 hour.
What, maybe an hour? Up to? I don't want to promise anything too much. And we went over a few minutes last show. Thanks for listening, everybody. The last show of last year was great. And thanks to everybody that was a part of it, especially you, Gus.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
What'd you do New Year's?
New Year's, I was back. I was in – I visited the family in Florida for a few days, down right around Christmas time. And it's, that's always interesting. I spent about 40% of the time trying to get out of the parking lot, which is interesting because you get, it's Boca, which is nice, but it's old Juville. So people are backing out of the spot, but they don't turn the wheel. So it's a slow back out while two people, one on each side, are waiting for the same spot because they can't see far enough to see the other person waiting for the spot.
Are these like large cars, Lincoln Continentals or big old Caddies?
There's some nice cars in that area, some very, very nice cars, and they are not moving fast enough to damage those cars, but it could.
Is it a thing of race? You said it's Juville. Is it because of nationality, race, or is it because of age?
Do you think that? Age.
Oh, okay, so that's kind of a heaven there. You can retire.
It's a step.
Have
closer.
A nice schmatzke.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that really means either. I don't. Do you speak any sort of Yiddish or do you just New York?
I learned Gekuchen auf die Yam is one of the very few phrases in Yiddish that I know.
Oh.
And that means go shit in the ocean.
Say that again. This is Go Shit in the Ocean, brought to you by Gus in Yiddish.
Gekuchen auf die Yam. Which I learned when I stole my grandmother's cigarettes, and she had said that to me, and I kept saying, "What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean?" She told me. So then I went back. I was in elementary, maybe seventh grade, and I went back to school after whatever vacation I was on.
Oh, here it comes.
I had a substitute teacher, and she had said something to me, which pretty much was probably all I needed to set me off at that point. And so I said, Gekuchen auf die Yam. And then as soon as I said it, it hit me. I went, oh, she's Jewish. That's not going to help. And I just looked at her and said, did I pronounce it correctly? She went, pretty close. And that was it. And then I was moved on. She was, I guess you can get away with stuff if it's in Yiddish. Any dead language. Probably could have said it in Sanskrit as well, and it would have been fine.
I was yanked out of maybe second grade, I think, by my hoodie, dragged to the principal's office just for cheesing off the teacher. I was always talking back to the – I'd had set teachers. I was a totally precocious, obnoxious, unbelievably obnoxious in school and in class. And would like, now you can do that another way, or, you know, I learned this. And they're like, please, that's like next year.
Were you already acting at that point?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Oh, so you had all sorts of sense of entitlement going on.
Oh, completely. I had like one-on-one set tutoring, you know, and I was like, well, you know, my teacher, Lewis, taught me, you know, he's like – You have to call me Mr. or Mrs. here in this school. And so Mrs. McGee, I think, second or third grade, I pissed her off so much, she grabbed me and yanked me out of the room. And there was rumors she threw a chair at a student. Those, like, chairs with the desks on them. Heaved it up over her head and threw it clacketing across. I'm sure it was like a little push or something, but
same people
third graders can exaggerate.
That is nice, though. When she tells the story about throwing a kid around by the hoodie, I'm sure that doesn't come up in job interviews. But
nor the completely debilitating alcoholism, I'm sure, that you know, she may have had. You know, I love her. I loved all my teachers. Her less than some, but...
Did you ever look at her and say, Lewis doesn't swing me around?
Absolutely. That's ridiculous. I'm sure I was just being really petulant and totally obnoxious. So I apologize. I had great, 9 times out of 10, you get really great teachers. Public school. So if I pronounce anything wrong, I did read a lot on my own to make up for the public schooling. If I pronounce something wrong, it's just because I don't. I know how to say it.
Most of those magazines were not reading, by the way. They don't qualify. Here's something, by the way, when I
Reader's
was...
Digest. My grandma had Reader's Digest come to the house, and that was...
When I was in Florida, by the way, this is something that I don't know if you knew about, which I thought it was a joke when my folks picked me up. We saw, you know how they have the amber alerts on the signs up here?
Oh, sure.
They have a silver alert. Over there.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, that's what they said. They said, oh, there's a silver alert. And I went, that's a pretty good joke.
Is it like
as
a jewelry or like, you're rich? Silver like gray hair.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And so at first I thought, good joke. And then I realized they were serious. And I thought, well, you know, who's stealing an old person was my question. But apparently the fear is they will forget where they're going sometimes and just keep going, which, you know, begs the question of why, once they're over 70, do you set some rule where they can only have half a tank of gas so they can only get so far?
Well, we've reduced the radius they can escape to.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe they know exactly what the hell they're doing. They want to get the hell out of this rest home or whatever situation they're in.
Yeah, there's a silver alert.
They're like, I know who president is.
We're looking for Bob. Everybody look around you. If he only has half a tank of gas, how far could he go? That's my question. But yes, I did not know that exists. That is actually real.
The warnings for the very young and the very old missing out on the road.
Yes. In the middle, you're on your own.
Are you supposed to pick them up and help them? Hi. No, are you, you know, Jasper? Oh, sir, we got to help you get home. I mean, how do you do that? Any old man walking, you're going to call the cops? I think there's a silver. How do they? There's no license plate. How do they describe him? He's a man with hair.
No.
Wearing shoes.
They are in, I believe it's their car. That's the sad thing is they are driving and they just keep driving. And that's
I miss exits all the time. I have to be honest. Talking or singing to the radio badly, and I'll just be three exits off.
You don't forget that you need an exit. That's what I think the problem is. You don't keep driving until the car stops. But apparently, you need an alert for that.
The LA, we don't need one because in California, it's like Logan's Run. If you aren't 35 or you look over 35, boom. East. Just go east.
Yes. Go to Boca. So 2 out of the last 3 years when I made that trip, I will fly back on Christmas, which one is a little concerning because the last decade you worry anytime I go to an airport. And then you figure Christmas, if some idiot's going to try to make a statement, you're going to do it on a holiday.
So 2/3 of attacks in the last 10 years have been the Christmas bomber. Remember?
Yeah, I don't know whether or not he used 2/3 of them. But
well, there was the shoe bomber and something called 9/11. But yeah, there was a horrible. There was a Christmas threat and bombing thing. So is there extra security? Is it?
Well, no. Surprisingly, it's the same security. It wasn't that crowded, which was a little bit of a surprise. The first thing I do when I get there, which is kind of sad, is I look to see for the most Middle Eastern looking person in the gate, and then usually I am the most Middle Eastern looking person in the gate, in which case then I wonder why people are staring at me. But the plane, strangely enough, I think is split mostly between Muslims and Jews, which can't make that much safer either on Christmas.
Yeah, really on Christmas Day. Baby Jesus? No. We're flying that day.
Give us the big beast.
Do you get good rates on, like, you know, Travelocity or whatever if you look it up?
No. They figure
Is there a code? Can you put in like a code like Malak Bar and that gets you tickets off on Christmas or anything?
I don't think that code's getting you anything.
Okay, sorry.
pretty sure that is not.
No. So you're traveling on the plane Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it turns out everyone's pretty silent for the most part. I think you just get one security guard, like a flight attendant who walks down the middle and says, no talking. Just look forward. We don't need any shit today.
We don't care if your thing doesn't work. Yes. Your little, the armrest. No, no, no.
Watch the conspirator or whatever we have on there, and that is it.
Have you noticed they haven't given out peanuts since like 1994?
No, no, no. And you know what's sad is that when I'm there now, I basically always get convinced to buy the most reasonably, and I throw the air quotes out there, which I don't like to throw out all that often, the reasonably priced potato chips for $3. The right. Half can of potato chips for $3 because it's better than the $11 sandwich.
They didn't even have sandwich. We did a New York trip. Virgin Airways, fine airline. They try to be very cheeky and, you know, have fun with the experience. And then you could order online in the back of your seat. Oh, I want this or that. But yeah, $3 chips. At least the sodas were still free.
Yes.
And you could get like a collection of chips and crackers and nuts that would normally be free in the old days. I'm like, I'm paying you to, well, you are, I'm sitting in a chair and flying in the sky. So I guess that is kind of special. But, and it was like $8.70 for like cheese and crackers.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, where that, first of all, the fact that they don't offer you the $12 sandwich is a little upsetting. But yeah, the cheese and crackers now you can get. I mean, just to make sure I get my money's worth, I'll drink like 48 ginger ales before the end of that flight.
That is the preferred flying beverage. Fuck it. I'm in the air. I'm having ginger ale,
yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah, yeah. And because of that, now I have to sit aisle seat so I don't have to keep waking people up on the way to the bathroom, which is disappointing.
Is that only like an upset stomach drink and an in the air drink? Ginger ale? Coca-Cola is too heavy. I don't know. 7-Up, it's too light.
No syrup. Give me the ginger ale. You're like, yeah, no, that's smothered in health. Love it though. Love it. I do love it. I just saw Contagion the other day. Did you see that?
I did.
What did you think of that?
Very good. Very scary. Very possible. I had read The Hot Zone back in the 90s. I have a lot of 90s reference, I guess.
Was that written by Judy Blume by any chance?
Yes. Are you there, God? I have Ebola.
Was there a super fudge in that book? Because otherwise I don't think I read it.
Tales of Patient Zero. Contagion was great. I remember the, what was the other one? With Dustin Hoffman.
Outbreak.
Outbreak. Outbreak was really close to this story, which was nonfiction. It was called The Hot Zone. And it was a true story of the Ebola Zaire virus, how it killed, how many people, how fast it is, and how it came here into Reston, Virginia, at an ape house. And one of the janitors got a version of Ebola. Really scary. It almost came to the United States. And so when the book came out, really scary. You're like, wait a second. This guy wrote this and observed some of these things firsthand. He could have it. His publisher could have it. Then the bookstore could have it. I'm holding something that somebody eventually had touched with this stuff on it. It was so scary. And then like a year later, out came Outbreak. And Contagion, I thought, was going to be kind of like that, but more about everybody, not just the scientists dealing with it, right?
Well, yeah. It seemed like Outbreak with – I mean, I don't want to ruin the movies. There's a lot of people that still haven't seen it, I'm sure. But it seemed like Outbreak, but – they got a better handle on it. And I don't know if that – I'm pretty sure that's not how it was pitched. Hey, it's like Outbreak, but we get a better handle on it eventually, seems.
Do you mean like a broader picture, like more points of view? It felt like that a lot of Soderbergh work. It was very ensemble-y and like traffic.
Yes, which I love. But I'll let people see it before I don't want to give away an ending, and I don't know how much of an opinion I can give. But yeah, I didn't love the ending. Great setup, great acting, great all of that. Didn't love the ending. Seemed a little anticlimactic. I do want to see War Horse though.
Oh, I want to see War Horse very badly. There's a great thing online. Go on YouTube. By the way, call in with your favorite TV show. 1-800-893-9562. War Horse, go online and look up War Horse Puppet, and they have a short documentary, a TED presentation, and it is amazing. It shows they bring out the stage, because the stage version, they use puppets for the horses, Gus.
I heard that's phenomenal, the puppetry that, and you don't hear, you remember it, because there's not a lot of things where people say, wow, that puppetry was phenomenal, but that I had heard specifically for that show that it was just great.
And the Spielberg reviews have been like, yeah, he's really manipulative as a filmmaker, And this time they said, this time you can see the strings. They're like, you know, you kind of feel really worked on.
Really?
But he's just, you know, I'm sure he's, and other artists are kind of growing into being like him, like De Palma or Scorsese, you know, other artists are growing to be that finished as a filmmaker. So yeah, he's got probably great people and gets exactly the shot he wants, exactly the performance, exactly the light, everything. There's no like issues on a Spielberg set. Everything's on under budget, on time, a day early. Every time, look at all of his production reports, everything. It's always like,
well, under
really
budget,
tightly run ship.
Under budget, probably, because he has a $3 billion budget. So it should be under budget. For
what's your budget? Does. $10 million more than you're going to spend.
Exactly. is that the same horse that did Seabiscuit?
Absolutely. Toby or something? I don't know what the name of the horse is.
Is it bizarre?
I was guessing people. I have no idea what
the name of the horse is. Is it bizarre to say I love that horse's work? Is that bizarre? Do you think the horse knows?
No. He's building up a great resume.
Do you think the horse knows
IMDb.
That? That's exactly. Do you think the horse knows right now that he has a great IMDb page?
He's got a huge following. His Twitter is awesome. He doesn't say nothing, but, you know, give me hey, dude. Over there. Now, can you imagine trotting this thing around for literally to premieres? I'm sure there's got to be events where they're bringing the horse out, like personal appearances and stuff.
Matthew Broderick has to do it.
You'd be stoked. You'd be like Benji's handler if you were this horse's handler. And now you have the world in the palm of your hands. And guess what? They're going to do like Air Bud, like 4, back in the saddle or something, and use this horse and corrupt it for some horrible Beethoven 6.
Are you claiming this horse is going to be forced to take
roles? He's going to sell out immediately.
This horse is going to take roles beneath him, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be like, you know, they almost gave it to Andy Serkis for his work in King Kong. His work as Gollum. Amazing. We wanted to give him a work as the actor that did that motion capture. Now we want to introduce a horse as best supporting actor.
I would not be surprised, actually. I would not be surprised. Did you work with any animals?
Yes.
Really? Anything interesting? Or, I mean, you're not going to come with, well, there was a parrot.
Well, what's interesting? I mean, yes, the parrot's on Fantasy Island.
Oh,
and one, there's
nice.
One named Red. It was a macaw. And he was, you know, the mostly red with the red and green. But he was like kind of the feature. You'd see the girl would be holding him in the opening credits or whatever. And there was like 3 or 4 of these regular birds. And I bet the bird, I did like 2. Plug away, Keith. Me. I. No, I did 2 episodes of Fantasy Island and worked with these birds. A chicken on the Waltons. I had a great relationship with the chicken, Harold.
A great relationship with Harold the chicken.
Yes. Yes,
that's
and got to work I started to work with dogs and cats and even a raccoon at one point. I did I worked with all these raccoons, like a dozen different raccoons. Some would bite you, some would be nice, and some were clever and could like open jars and stuff.
How well open jars? I know
they don't have like a singular animal like Toby or whatever the heck the horse's name is in Warhorse, the actual actor.
I
thinking Toby Maguire because he was in Seabiscuit? Is that why I'm calling the horse Toby?
I'm assuming so. I have no idea why the hell you're calling him Toby.
Okay.
How trained can a raccoon be?
Oh, we have a call. Let's take a call. Raccoons can be very trained. We'll come right back to the raccoons.
Yeah, no.
Hold me there. Hello, callers.
Yeah, hi. Is this Keith and Gus?
It is Keith and Gus. How are you? Who's this? Is this Mark from Jersey?
This is Mark from Jersey. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, love the show, first of all. I don't have a favorite TV show. I have a favorite TV night. Does that qualify?
You mean like must-see TV or Thursday nights? They drop on a Saturday night schedule, like our show, if everyone noticed.
Let me guess
on your evening.
Late
80s. Okay, go ahead. You can guess it.
I want to guess. I mean, there's only one evening for me, and it was all sitcoms. Does it start with the Cosby Show?
Late 80s Cosby, into Family Ties, into Cheers. Do I win something?
Oh, and then they did Cosby and then Different World, and then Family Ties got pushed to like 9 o'clock.
Oh, that was the end of it.
Or that's Cheers.
It.
Maybe they did Cheers lead off.
But that's when it jumped the shark.
Yes, that is absolutely right.
What of those 4 shows, what was your favorite show of those 4 shows?
Night Court was the 4th one. They finished with Night Court.
Oh, that's right. Night Court was after that. See, by that time I had already switched over to Star Trek on Channel 11.
Good call.
But either way.
Way to catch that Star Trek just 25 years after it initially aired, by the way.
Oh, that wasn't first run?
I thought they were all in black and white because I had a black and white TV. So when I was growing up as a kid and I was watching the Star Trek reruns, and then I realized Star Trek was actually a color show.
That's
What was your favorite show? Out of Cosby Show, Family Ties, Cheers, Night Court was the other show he said?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your favorite show?
It wasn't Night Court. That's a hard one because I really loved Cheers, but early Cosby Show was a classic. It was so good. And, of course, Lisa Bonet was so hot.
She was. She was very, very hot.
Yeah, before she turned into a crackhead and moved to the Bahamas. But
allegedly.
She was hot enough to pull that off.
Angel Heart was her downfall.
Family Ties. And Family Ties.
That was such a good show until the youngest kid magically aged five years in like half a season. The young kid. That was pretty much at the end of its run.
Andrew,
that was a great show.
Remember Andrew?
Andrew.
That yes.
Was nice. That's when a show gets to the stage where the youngest kid in that show is now too old, and they have to bring on different strokes. Did the same thing. We need a little redheaded kid. Someone get me a little redheaded kid.
When I was on the Waltons, they brought me and Martha Nix on in 1979. Because Elizabeth, the little red-haired girl, the youngest girl in the Waltons,
mm-hmm.
had turned 18.
Wow.
They had no kids on the show at that time. So they will bring on those. No, I love Family Ties, too. God, Mark, thank you so much for calling in. What's the weather like out in Jersey right now?
It's a little cold. It's kind of late night here, man, but we're enjoying you guys. Thanks for all you guys are doing, and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in. Well, that was really cool. I remember Thursday nights. Oh my God. Thanks, Mark. Take care.
That is the only specific night of television that I can remember. There are shows growing up that I would always want to watch. I remember getting punished and crying that I wanted to watch Dukes of Hazzard at one point in time.
Oh, yeah. Friday nights. Incredible Hulk and Dukes of Hazzard. I'm all over that. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But that was about probably like 7 or 8 when, you know, like 1978. 70 something when those came on.
Yeah, that was when I was right at the age or right before the age when I realized that somebody's shorts can get my attention. That was right. I was coming into that time frame.
And I was too young when I lived next door to Catherine Bach in Malibu.
Oh.
Or not? No, I didn't live in. Okay, my best friend. So I was always spending the night over at my friend's house or whatever. And it was near. Number one, it was near like this wreck yard in Malibu. And there's like only one junkyard for all these like cars that had gotten into wrecks on the PCH. Anyway. Catherine Bach lived right there. We'd always see her crossing the road at the beach. But we were like 7 or 8 years old. So there's no, you know, unfortunately no value in that right there.
No. That's, you're going to have to, for now on, when you tell that story, you're going to have to change a few facts.
Oh, really?
Make it based on a true story from now on.
But yeah, those shorts were, definitely hot.
Yeah. When you have a whole style of shorts named after your character, that's, you've done some good things. Although they tried to remake it, and although What's Your Name looked very good, Jessica Simpson looked very good in it, that movie was not doing anything for me.
No. Jenna Lee was the true star, or like a lot of shows in the 80s, I guess. There was Dukes of Hazzard, you had Knight Rider, Love Boat. You know, I guess the boat is a pretty big character there. the plane, you know, in Fantasy Island. There was, what was that one show? Riptide. With the big pink helicopter and like the nerdy guy and then like the cool dude that flew around and like rescued people at the beach.
That is true. And Magnum had a helicopter he'd occasionally pull a helicopter, a Ferrari, mm-hmm. and a pet mustache that he would ride around town. They're redoing a handful of those shows. They're redoing The Munsters,
mm-hmm.
Bewitched, I believe Dallas.
Mm-hmm. As TV show, a television series.
Amazing. They tried Charlie's Angels. Did that make it through one episode?
I think it was canceled about 2.5 minutes into it. I tried, Gus. I support,
TV
and I love cheesy shows even like VIP. Remember that with Pam Anderson?
Yes, I do.
I love hearing that. That's good times. but that was like, I love it. It can be cheesy and it can still be entertaining, you know, and it could be like a cheap show. Have fun with it. But that show you're talking about. No, man, no.
Cheesy, I'm fine with. I can watch. You know, I can turn on the Sci-Fi Channel and enjoy as Debbie Gibson is shocked while she watches an enormous gator jump out of the water and take down a plane. I'm fine with the cheesiness. But if it's cheesiness that was already made 25 years ago, there's, you know.
Well, Jaws 2 was cheesy. I mean, when the shark jumped out and bit the helicopter, I'm sure that's the nugget that the Sharktopus versus Megapolis was. But
Jaws 2 is a true story.
The fact that I knew that was a Sharktopus? No, Mega Shark versus Megapolis or some sort of huge octopus or something.
I'm pretty sure you probably named three titles somewhere in that.
Oh, no, they've had the meat, you know, remember like Godzilla versus like Mothra? They've had all of these shark thingies and octopuses and giant creatures, the cheap B movie, sci-fi channel, Sci-Fi channel. those are great. And they're made directly for, I did one of them. I did Python and then that turned into Pythons and then they have Mega Python and then they've combined it in Python has now attacked something, one of those other, new creatures, a sharktopus or something.
Yeah, well, they branch out.
I just like saying sharktopus to be, I, yes, born James Bond, sharktopushy, yes.
I mean, have any of those remakes ever been good? Any of the remakes of the shows that they have done? Has anyone ever said, oh, wow, they redid Love Boat. Thank God that worked out well.
No, never. I can't
what is the last
anything.
Show remake? They tried to redo Knight Rider. That didn't work.
No. Fantasy Island, they tried to redo one of those.
Yeah.
Less
novelty in a short person these days than there was back then on TV.
They're also doing a Western. What was the one they were doing? The Rifleman.
The Rifleman.
I think of all the shows, that's the one because it's kind of older.
Before my time. So
it's totally before my time, too.
I wouldn't know.
So I won't have a frame of reference to totally burn my childhood.
Bewitched.
Oh, let's redo Gilligan's Island. Great idea.
Now, nowadays, would you not just use your cell phone? Nowadays, tougher to do with Gilligan's Island. Bewitched.
They did it. Gilligan's Island was redone. It was called Whoops. In the 90s, they did a show.
Really?
There was a nuclear destruction, and only people that were in Volvos lived. And so these seven people that were in Volvos at the time, it's such a well-built car.
This is the premise of the fucking show.
No, this is Fox. So
close enough.
They all entered a cabin and they had, you know, the Gilligan and the skipper and the captain and all that other stuff. It was such a dreadful show. That was another one canceled. I don't know why Charlie's Angels. It wasn't schnazzy like Pan Am. Oh God, another white Pan Am and the Playboy Club. All of these shows, you know, pretty much tanked. I think Pan Am's still kicking.
No, Pan Am's not still kicking.
Yeah, I think Pan Am was it ran know, its was, course. Or,
no, I think Pan Am had one leg up.
They're still waiting
dead.
For a phone call or something? No?
No. Yeah, on a rotary phone, maybe. That thing's done. No, Pan Am's not happening.
Are you really? Are you serious? I didn't know that.
I don't think.
Watched when they went into Uzbekistan or whatever.
I could be wrong. I think before they finished the Am, that show was pulled, I'm pretty sure. But
Pan Am was doing better than the other shows, and it was slightly more entertaining. But I also have really skewed taste. I like pop culture, like really bad pop culture. Really bad, like stuff that makes money and stuff that everybody likes. But then I also like really obscure stuff too. We have a caller, a Drew in Los Angeles. No subject. God, this could be an ambush. Thanks for calling in. Hi, Drew. How are you?
All right. How you guys doing?
All right.
Well, we're awesome. Thanks for calling the show.
I was enjoying the show. You guys are talking about TV shows. You did miss one remake that's actually being successful.
What? What remake?
Hawaii 5-0.
That's a great call.
That is a great call. Why did that slip off my radar?
I'm filled with useless information. as for Pan Am, no, that was like, I think, two episodes and out.
Get the Am finished.
I skipped a couple and I let them get rid of the like original stories. They had like some spy thing or whatever. And then Pan Am turned into a kind of cool show. I think you can watch it on Hulu or whatever.
No, I think Pan Am and the Playboy Club raced each other to see which could get off the air first.
I believe that is correct.
Imagine how many of those actors had like bought houses and were like, dude, I'm rolling, and they're like, canceled.
Well, you know what?
Those
people should have actually maybe done a tiny bit of research into the entertainment business if they immediately bought a house. Hawaii 5-0, Drew, is a great, great call. Do you watch that now, and did you watch it, the original?
I have never seen an episode of either one.
Wow. Yet you know it's doing well.
You have this knowledge stored in your trap-like brain.
I'm filled with useless information. However, I do think you guys are missing one of the greatest shows of all time.
Which is?
Which I think you could do a remake of if they didn't screw it up completely.
Well, I would assume they already would screw it up completely, but go ahead. What is it?
Soap.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun. Did you ever watch Mary Hartman? Mary Hartman? Did you watch Mary Hartman? Mary Hartman? Drew?
I did watch Mary Hartman.
That was also a skewed show.
Hold on. Was that show? Do you really have to say Mary Hartman twice for that show?
Yeah, it's Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman.
Yeah, because it was called Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman.
Seriously?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
One of the first episodes I watched, a guy got impaled by a Christmas tree. and another person drowned in their chicken noodle soup.
Mary Hartman.
I believe it was Mary Hartman. Mary Hartman, where before they actually started doing this for real, someone got a heart transplant from a pig.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not making this up.
Coming with history based on Mary
now,
Hartman.
Soap
Mary Hartman.
Was great. And for the soap fans, everybody remembers Billy Crystal being exposed to so many people. He was a, I believe he was an openly gay character.
He was the first openly gay character.
Really?
On television.
Yes, the first? Ah, that is so great.
Yes. That, wow. Yeah, the, definitely.
That
the
show
first.
Launched the careers of an unbelievable amount of people.
Oh, sure. And also the resurgence for some veterans, you know, that had been around for a while. And I thought I had, because my grandfather was in the business, and so I was aware of, like, kind of the older generation. And I knew who a lot of these people kind of were. But the show had, you know, the young talent like that. It was a funny ass show.
It was very good. Because the thing is, they didn't suffer from being sort of hampered by not being able to do politically incorrect humor.
Oh, they went all the way.
No.
Yeah, I mean, so you, in those days, you could still have Benson going, "Where are the white women at?" You know, and it was still funny.
I don't think people really know this, but Benson was a spinoff of soap.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. But now, I didn't really watch soap. My older sister watched soap. I used to watch Benson, and I knew it was a spinoff. I always saw an occasional. Although the problem with remaking something like soap right now is the question is does the same stuff still...
Shock?
Yes.
Does it still surprise?
Still,
are you going to be able to be Archie Bunker and flush the toilet again?
Yes. Archie Bunker, now that is another show right there that All in the Family that helped break the mold for all sorts of taboo subjects.
Well, they remade the Archie Bunker show. It was called just the address of this of the house, and it was
John
an all-black
Amos.
Family.
John Amos was in.
Yeah, and he was racist. So it was, they flipped the show, and they remade that in the mid-90s.
That didn't last all that long either.
I don't think so.
No, it had a season or so.
Well,
but
yeah.
It was kind of
a
stunt.
I don't think America was ready for the racist black
guy. Hey, remember Pop Rock? And Rock? Remember Rock? The live? Rock was amazing because it was live. No, Rock. Remember Rock?
What is with you guys with the saying stuff twice? With the Mary Hartman, and you got Rock? No, I think you're making all this stuff
up. I don't know anything about Rock.
No, but Rock was a live show. And I guess it was maybe Friday nights or something like that. And he would hold up the paper and be like, "This is live today, right now. We're doing this." And they would do a sitcom. Yes. And they had to use Broadway performers that were used to being able to nail it always, all the time. And they would do an East Coast and a West Coast show. And if they had really bad mess ups or whatever in one show, you know, they'd have another one. So then in reruns, it would be the best performances of the two shows.
I don't even know this show.
I have no recollection of it.
Rock. Oh, man. Rock was amazing.
Amazing. You're coming with amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so good. Amazing, it's never been heard of.
No.
Exactly, Drew.
So great. And Cop Rock. Does anyone remember that?
I remember Cop Rock.
That was Stephen Bochco.
Yep.
Yeah.
After they loved him so much when he did Hill Street Blues, it was one of those things like, "We'll let you do anything you want." And he's like, "Really?"
He took full advantage. Full advantage of that. That was and this is not a joke when I say I saw that in college. We saw one of the few aired episodes as a study of things that did not work. And they showed an episode of Cop Rock, which I just knew from the name. And
if you make it into a syllabus, this is bad.
It was the funniest musical I had ever seen.
Really?
Oh, my God. It was great.
We have to, Drew, you have to look up Rock. It is starring Charles S. Dutton.
Is that R-O-C or R-O-C?
R-O-C, just R-O-C. It was in 91 to 94.
Okay.
It was a live sitcom. Yep, just like the old-time shows used to do.
But now it has to be funny. Just being live is not all that impressive.
No, it was a funny good show. It was a good show. And it was good. It was kind of it was like Archie Bunker, and it was like a working-class guy, and it wasn't like Honeymooners. It was more like a modern kind of a family show. It wasn't really ripping on that genre as much. But it was really good show and just really good performance. It had a drama element to it, too. A little bit of pathos.
I like it. Now, Drew, before you get going, let me ask you this, though. What do you have a favorite show? Any of your favorite shows of all time that you would throw out there? Since the two shows that you met. Soap was good. Hawaii 5-0, you said you'd never watched before, so tough to put that up there.
Now, you're talking currently? like TV shows?
Of all time. TV show of all time.
Wow. That's a tough call, TV show.
You can always call back with a different answer because we have this will be an ongoing.
Is that one of those when they do like the island?
That stuck with me most was soap. That I used to like not go out that night when I was in school. Like it's like I have to see it. It was that funny.
Now, since you were
Python's Flying Circus.
Since you were one of our that's also a good one. But since you were one of our first callers, I'm going to put soap on the early list. Although this is a an ever changing list, and I can almost guarantee you.
No, I second
there.
Soap because that impacted me as a kid. Because my mom was really progressive and she let me watch all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I grew up to be a comic, and that show, I think, had a lot to do with it.
That was a game changer, that show. You should.
Are you a comic here in L.A., Drew?
I am.
Right on. That's great. How's it going for you?
I've been doing it 20 years, so I'll go with it. It's probably going okay.
Drew, I have to say, that is one of the toughest and scariest things. My show. I'm an actor, so I will be completely egocentric. I never have tried stand-up, Drew. It scares the living crap out of me. You're a writer.
That's
you're
the number one fear of people.
You're the producer. You're the writer. You're the performer, the director, the editor, everything. You are completely
so
responsible.
I don't have to worry about screwing up somebody else's work.
I always blame shit on everybody. It's your fault. The lighting sucked.
Tougher to do.
I can't hear myself on this mic. God damn it. There's no pros around here.
Tougher to do by yourself.
I turn into Mickey Rooney instantly. Give me a gin and tonic. And
you get short.
Yeah, dude, Mickey Rooney's probably got a good half foot on me. No, I'm a short man, Drew. Sorry.
I'm sorry, man.
I tried to do stand up. They said,
sure
would you stand up?
Because
we can't
Mickey
see
Rooney
you.
Does not have 12 inches on.
I couldn't do stand up because I can't tell the same story the same way twice.
You don't have to. My show's different each night.
Okay. But you have like a set. I mean, you've been doing it 20 years. Obviously, you've written, you know, an act and have great material and, you know, you change it up. And so that is the work. That is the real work. Are you going up? Are you still doing it? Can we promote a show for you, Drew?
Well, you can be on the lookout for a new show that I created called Bad Advice.
Bad Advice. Awesome.
Well, we'll be doing that live in the clubs coming up very soon.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for calling in and adding to our list of great shows. Thanks for bringing up a show. I would have brought up soap, but it really was a groundbreaking show.
Hey, enjoy your show.
Thank you for calling.
Have a great night.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Awesome.
Soap is a great call, so I would not have thought of that a little before my time, but definitely a game changer.
Yeah.
It's on the list. I don't know how long it's staying on the list.
I'm keeping it on the list right there because but not only Mary Hartman and soap. And come on, Benson. We wouldn't have had Benson without soap. How can you be so callous, Gus?
Well, no, I don't want to.
Because it wasn't your favorite show. You think that all of our callers are going to call in and it's going to just be on your list of shows? What's your favorite show, Gussum?
That is a very good question. And it depends on the category itself, whether best show is my favorite show or whether it's what I think is one of the best shows of all time, which is different. Because, for instance, I watched the hell out of Happy Days as a kid. Watched the hell out of it.
Well, who didn't?
But do I think necessarily that should qualify as the best show? No. If it goes by just what I watched as a kid, then yes.
Now, we know not everybody watched Joni Loves Chachi after the first season or two. But Laverne and Shirley, was that on you? Did you watch both, Happy Days and then Laverne and Shirley?
Love Laverne and Shirley. Great show. Funny show. Yes, I watched both of those back to back. Welcome Back, Cotter. I absolutely loved Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yes.
Oh, such a phenomenal show.
That's on the list. That I love that. And I watched that as a kid, too, because they always talked crap to teachers. But that is a really good show, too. I love the kind of schmaltzy humor and the book ending they did in the show. He'd tell her the joke at the end.
Yeah, there's always a joke about a relative at the beginning and the end. He was great. It was great. And the jokes were probably older than me when I was watching it, but still.
But it was great structure. He really, really talented. Was he that's the thing on a lot of these older shows, which like we wouldn't know Gabe Cotter Cotter. We wouldn't know him from anybody.
I think he was the known comedian,
was he?
I think, at that point in time. But the rest of the sweat hogs, I don't believe were. Travolta was not. None of the other guys were known. And Travolta obviously then did Saturday Night Fever while filming that, I believe.
Oh.
So that, you know, that Vinnie Barbarino and...
And then Carrie. He was an asshole in Carrie.
Yeah, he struggled back in the late 70s. that was definitely one of my favorites. I used to love Mork and Mindy.
Oh, I totally love Mork and Mindy too.
Also a Happy Day spinoff, by the way. That was where they pulled Mork from.
Yes.
Because why wouldn't you pull an alien character?
Into the 50s.
Yes. A coked up alien character right into the 50s Milwaukee.
You know what? That was probably their highest rated show. And they're like, we got to get eyeballs on this.
Depends
and get
on
people
on
the spinoff.
Highest.
But then it was really it was pretty successful for several seasons.
It had a great run.
Yeah.
She was huge.
Until I was on the show.
Did you kill Mork and Mindy?
I did. I was on the last episode, Mork and Mindy. I told you that before, but
you want me to retain it?
No. Yeah, I totally killed that. It was awful, but it was cool. It was like a two-parter.
But it was the last episode, so it wasn't like, well, we thought we were going to make it another season, and then Keith fucked it up.
It was a burn for me too, because like sometimes you'll have an answer. You're like, oh, I get to see the set and stuff, and we'd been to live tapings. My family
was he already sober by that point and less fun? I hate to make that reference, but
already you're saying.
Well,
I don't have a context for what you're saying right now.
Okay.
That already at the time, that already had not happened, I presume.
Okay, that's my question.
And I'm saying allegedly and disassociating myself from any sort of witnessing or
anything. Okay, let me reword the question.
It was all hearsay, and I'm like, he was getting a massage. That's all I know.
Let me reword the question.
Get a massage. He's stressed. He's a television performer, a network TV show.
A powder nose massage.
The worst thing I saw him do was outside of his trailer on a massage table with a licensed masseuse in front of craft service and God and everybody getting a massage. That was last time I saw Robin Williams.
Well, first of all.
Oh, and RV. I was the star of RV.
Oh, that's.
Did you see that?
No.
No, that's why I can tell people I was the star of RV.
Did you, before we leave Mork, did you.
That's a secret to all aspiring actors out there. Just tell them you were in RV and they'll be like, oh, that's cool. I saw that. Sorry for cutting you off.
No worries. Because apparently I have to reword the question due to the way you answer it. Was he seemingly crazy energetic at that point in time? Did you go, wow, this comedian has himself a whole bunch of energy?
I was concerned about Jonathan Winters.
I mean,
he was a psycho old bat on the show. He was never Jonathan. He's always some character. Always. He's never off.
Really?
And you can't, there's no universe. You can't crawl into him. He's not there. He's doing a bit 24/7. That's Jonathan Winters.
That
you're like, Robin Williams is totally normal. He's on time. He hits his marks. He knows his dialogue. He's creating stuff every minute of every moment. He's creating new stuff. And my mom challenged me. She goes, why don't you do this in like improv or like say something or why don't you say it like this? So I went, fine. I did like a yuppie thing. I was like, well, no, Muffy and Buffy at the club. All of a sudden, Robin Williams' head snapped back and we're shooting or whatever. And his head snapped back and he's like, oh, we've got a player. So he like throws something back at me and I'm like, that's all my mom gave me. I've got nothing to give you back.
That is great. That was my 3 minutes of setup improv. Sorry.
Now I freeze and be like, I don't have a line. I don't, it's all up to you, Robin. It's your show.
And that's what that show seemed like at times. It seemed like,
he was never. No.
At some point in time, Robin, you have to get out that you need a new car and go. That's what that scene seemed like, that whole show.
Do you want to take a break so I can beat you for that look you gave me when I cut you off about Robin Williams, Mork and Mindy? Let's take a break. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. When we come back, we'll take more calls on your favorite show, I guess, and Gus is open to us now or ever. It could be something running right now, maybe even both. What's your favorite show forever and ever, TV show? And I have another question on top of that, 800-893-9562. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, continue to enjoy music by my friend Jeff Fiorentino at jfrocks.com. Here is another pretty creepy track. All right, thanks for listening. We'll be right back. That was a great track. All right. Thank you, Jeff, for the music and for letting us use it on our show. Welcome back to the call sheet. I'm Keith Coogan. We're here with Gus. By the way, Gus, did we ever figure out if I call you Ken August, Kenneth August, Kenneth Gus August, or just Gus?
No, we figured this out weekly.
Kenny G, is there some awful name I could give you, saddle you with a ridiculous label?
No, that label is taken, and I don't want to infringe upon it. You should call me Gus, and we will when we have this conversation next week, you should call me Gus then as well.
Okay, thank you. I'll probably keep asking you well on into the year. We have some great shows coming up. We've even got a possible guest in a few weeks. It's a secret. And for those people out there that are fans of some of the older stuff, the TV shows that I did, especially one show called The Waltons, we have a very special guest coming up. I'll spring it on you as we firm things up, but yeah, in a couple weeks.
It's a surprise for me as well.
It is. I know. I'm just springing it on. As my producer just went, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Dude, we can't do that, man. Sorry, I turned all Kenny on you right there, dude.
That was okay. During the break, by the way, there's a show that I think I have to put on there on this list that I didn't watch all the time, although the reruns were on endlessly. But MASH.
Oh, of course, ran longer than the actual Korean War did. I believe MASH was on 11 years, had the highest rated finale episode. Goodbye, farewell. Amen. If you don't cry when Alan Alda is talking about that chicken, I'm telling you, you have no soul. You're a cyborg.
Here's something ironic
that I remember.
What a great
show. I loved it. Even as a kid, I'm like, it's all adults, but I loved it.
It was a fantastic show. But I remember this. As a kid, my brother and I played hockey. Two different teams. He's 3 years older than me. And we were still at the age where we were not old enough to drive ourselves to practice. VCRs were probably not that big yet. When MASH went off, last episode, they canceled the hockey practice because parents wouldn't leave to bring their kids.
I'm watching my MASH.
Yes. Yes. Wow. And so they canceled the practice. Now, I mean, this is the type of stuff that if it's snowing, come on. You have one practice a week. You paid a bunch of money for it. You better go. No, not showing up. Mm-hmm. Alan Alda's got a speech.
And it was like an old friend that even if you didn't like it when it moved into the interior years when they were like faking it there on stage. Remember that?
Yeah.
In like the seventh and eighth years, and there's like a lot of like Harry Morgan in a lot of the episodes. There was in the later years, like Alan Alda is directing all the episodes. You know, in the later years, and they're on in the soundstage. They made it look like, and I got to walk in the set because I was like working on something else on the lot.
That's
so
nice.
I walked in, I saw the MASH set, but it was the one. And you can always go out to Malibu and see the remnants of the old MASH set. They have like a basically just a cement foundation of where the old 4077 used to be.
How much do they charge you to see a cement formation?
But the fine
foundation
for trespassing might be pretty good. but on the soundstage, so I open the door and there it is. It's the shot, like kind of looking up the little, street through the tents, and it has a fake backdrop and the sign with all the, to Singapore and to U.S.
That's
Albuquerque.
Cool.
But it was, it's really small. You caught on to those things as a kid. You started when they stopped dropping budgets in shows or the sequel of something, and you're like, this is cheap. You could be, 10, and when something's really cheap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, so it's like an old friend,
more than
like an old shoe
olds
that you don't, remember until you're like, oh, that, I really love those shoes. So it's funny that, the last episode was the most watched on, television ever, like almost to this day. A really huge viewership. Where were they in the last couple of seasons? All of a sudden, they're canceling. Oh, we got to watch now.
Yeah.
Say goodbye. But
Yeah.
Even people that don't regularly watch the show tuned in. And
a rare movie to television success story as well. Tying into our
you almost forget
earlier
about the Altman film.
Yeah.
Totally.
The film was on TV the other day, and it seems weird to me to see any of those characters except who? Radar. Radar was the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
That's
right?
About it. Yeah.
That seems.
And MASH it was funny for those out there that write, for those that are in television or production, or see these kinds of things. MASH, the film, the Robert Altman film, they had said it was pretty episodic itself. It breaks down into a couple of four acts, very clear, moving, telling one little story, then another, then the suicide story, then the football game. So it was already set up to be like a half hour show. And broke it down and it absolutely worked and, even recast, but Radar. Yeah, you gotta have Radar there.
So let me ask you this. And what, moving on to stuff on today, what do you watch today for the most part? Are there any shows that you make sure you religiously catch?
I always will watch Modern Family when it's on. That's such a great show. I'm really hooked on American Horror Story.
I've heard good things about American Horror Story.
It's
heard that's creepy.
Great. Yeah, it's creepy. It's gross. It's a mind fuck. They've really pushed the show. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it. But they made some really crazy choices when they were developing the show, I think. They're like, they always knew they were going to do this kind of stuff. And as they started doing it as a watcher of American Horror Story, you're like, well, they can't do that. I mean, don't they want to like make money like and have this show on for a couple of years? Because if you do that, you can't do that like now. Like I would expect something like that as like, you know, one of the last episodes of the show or something. And you're like, no, they did it. Oh, my God, we still have half an hour of this episode. Then next week they do something else. And you're like, oh, well, they can't do that. And they do it over and over again. This show keeps really fucking changing the stakes. I can't wait actually to see how it's really intrigued me. That's one of my new favorite shows. Kind of Lost-ish in a weird way.
Yeah, they've been searching for the next Lost as soon as Lost, as soon as they started adding extra shit onto Lost that they couldn't explain in season three or whatever.
They knew it was purgatory whatever, the whole time. They're like, fuck it, we can do anything we want. We can tell them later it was purgatory.
The event, there's something else.
Flash forward.
Yeah, they kept trying the, hey, how long can we come up with one mystery and then try to drag that out as long as humanly possible, which is annoying already.
And I like House. That's always a great show, though.
House? Isn't that on like his 48th season?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a great show. He keeps winning the Emmys.
Is he still on Vicodin?
I think he's tried to withdraw, then he kicked, and then he came back to it, and then he had like violent problems, and then, it like messed with him. I don't know where House is always struggling with his addiction, as did the original character they based House on.
That's interesting.
You know who the House?
I'm assuming he works for Kaiser, like my insurance.
He lived at 221B Baker Street. You don't know who House is based on?
I have no idea.
Holmes. Sherlock
really?
Holmes. Sherlock Holmes.
I did not know that.
House is Holmes. He lives at 221B. Never mind. And he's got addicted. And Sherlock Holmes was apparently in the 10% Solution, not written by...
Was Holmes such an angry bastard?
Absolutely.
Or was he really?
Yeah. They say Holmes might have had Asperger's.
Nice.
And he's a fictional character, and he had a debilitating social disease.
A fictional character that they may have just given him a disease that was not actually diagnosed. That is nice. Now, I'm going to call you on this since you didn't mention this show among your favorites.
Oh, wait. I still have Boardwalk Empire is really good. And these are kind of the newer, you know, these shows that are on still.
And do you watch all? You try to catch all of these?
I try to catch all of them. Boardwalk Empire, I have some, you know, some past episodes I got to watch and catch up on. But really good television. Feature stuff. It's like feature feels like feature work.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have they take their time.
Different type of programming than sitcom or things that we used to watch or that we're listing, that I'm mostly listing for best shows of all time. Almost all of mine are sitcom-y type shows. So, yeah, it is a completely different style. The Boardwalk Empire and all those movie style shows that they have on.
Oh, yeah.
But what about reality shows? Because I was at your
totally
place.
A Survivor.
You know, Survivor? Oh, my brother watches Survivor.
Dr. Drew's down. Celebrity Rehab.
Oh,
I love that show. Oh, that's crack for me. I'm addicted. I have to go to Dr. Drew's Rehab.
Can you explain this to me? Because I keep calling, I keep saying not wonderful things about Dr. Drew, and my friend defends him. And my basic question is this. Here's the contradiction I don't understand. How can any therapist, supposed doctor, tell me that they would like to help their patient, but he's also a producer on the show and he knows if it's drama-free, his ratings suck? Can you explain that contradiction and how that doesn't make he and Dr. Phil somewhat questionable?
No, it's not that they make anything worse or create any drama. They're just taking advantage of it. They know that there's drama in this process.
Well,
always there's going to be drama when someone's kicking like
and
that.
And they will make sure that there is. There is no way they're going to say, let's go to a serene place.
No, they're just
going to
make sure they catch
in.
Do all of these shows. They follow them around for days, weeks.
Not.
And then finally someone slips on their ass. They're like, yes, we have an episode.
But,
I mean,
but you're in business
cutting,
enough.
They're manipulating this stuff. You're in business enough. You know that they
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
manipulate
trying to say
this
to you,
stuff.
They will not. They're not going to go through a show and hope that something happens. If it's a rehab show, you're not going a whole season without some outsider sneaking in something.
I disagree. I think because of the high profile of the show, because it's on cameras, I think they're probably nicer to you in Dr. Drew's rehab than in.
That's not my point.
Another rehab.
My point. Of course, they're nicer.
I don't think they're going out of their way to make people get upset.
Upset? No. But drama-free? You think a producer of a show wants it to be completely drama-free? Is that what you
asking
think?
The patient to get the fuck off the roof is trying to be drama. I mean, these people are going through some pretty heavy.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Dr. Drew, before being a television producer, had ever said to anybody, the best thing for you would be to do this publicly on TV in front of as many people
as possible?
I'm
going to give you at least a 30% right on that, because they do pick their roommates. And oftentimes the roommate thing is really a bad
pick. That's what I'm saying. I can't believe you can even argue with the concept that he is a producer looking for drama on his show. Now, of course, he has a topic that may already have drama, but...
No, he's looking for healing. He's looking for growth.
I don't care what voice you use. That's bullshit.
And progress. Was that a weird voice?
Yeah, that was whatever nurse voice you used.
I tried to do Dr. Drew, but it didn't work.
Was not buying it. So I'm going to call you on this, because although you did say that, when I was at your place the other day, what was the reality show that was on? Wife Swap.
Yeah. Oh, and you missed. We watched the was it the Gary Busey one or the Tracy Gold one?
No, I saw the clips of Gary
Busey. Gary Busey. Oh, that was
Ted
crazy.
Haggard.
And Ted Haggard.
Now, first of all, it was Gary Busey and his fiance, which is a great start to a marriage, is to wife swap right off the bat.
Sure.
That's the best thing to do. And to wife swap with a former evangelist who got caught with, what was it, a male prostitute and heroin or crack?
Methamphetamine?
Sure. Well, I don't know the difference.
Crank, not crack.
Get
your drugs straight.
No.
He was totally addicted to speed. And I think a 3-year relationship, not even allegedly.
Speed and
this?
A gay hooker. Is that
not
true?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they ever admit anything.
That speed totally makes you gay.
I don't think they ever admit anything. I think the devil tempted him with something, but... No,
he's one of those really positive, beaming, fake grimace of a smile. I'm like, you're so ready to snap on the inside somewhere, dude. I mean, Ted Haggard is. So they swapped. Gary Busey and Ted Haggard swapped wives.
Yes, seems like that could. Does Dr. Drew produce that show as well? Because that seems just as helpful. I mean, and here's my question is, once the show, I don't know how long Wife Swap's been on, but once Gary Busey is one of your contestants, have you not? Are you not pretty much done from there? What are you bringing on after Gary Busey where you're like, okay, well, this guy's even crazier? How's that happen?
Right, when you're ordering like, oh, we have 9 episodes and the second one is Gary Busey.
Yes.
Where do you go from there?
No, that's that show has to have jumped the shark at that point in time.
So everybody out there in not only in Los Angeles, but around the country, around the world, we have people that listen to this show from China. Just so that everybody understands the broad, remember China? Remember our Chinese audience?
Yes.
Everybody was blown away by that. I was looking at the stats. It was great.
Love my Chinese audience.
Do you?
Sure. Why not?
Do you really?
Okay. Sure.
Okay, good.
Absolutely love my Chinese audience. I miss them when I'm gone.
I love all those reality shows. Big Brother. I can't wait for Big Brother to be back. It's another one. Survivor. I love watching people starve.
Big Brother's still on the air?
Yeah, Big Brother's been like 19 seasons or something.
That's
ridiculous.
Why I'm
like
surprised.
That.
I'm surprised.
Huge
hit. Do you watch The Apprentice? Do you watch Donald Trump, that douchebag show?
You call him a douchebag?
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
That douchebag show.
Yes, that douchebag's
show. Oh, okay, that douchebag show, Possessive. Yes, and we have amazing guests coming up. I not only watched Celebrity Apprentice, I used to absolutely sit for the end of the show. He would have like this business piece of advice. Got to tell you, make sure, bring a professional in for the estimate. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
His business advice was have a father who's a billionaire.
He's, location... Location. Thank you. Good night. That was, and he always had these bon mots, this kind of a business thing. And I love it. So we have a great guest, George Takei from Star Trek.
Love
San
George
Francisco. I was born there. We have Arsenio Hall.
Wow. Where's he been? Nice.
Arsenio Hall back on TV. That's awesome. Woof, woof, woof. Dog pack.
I love me some.
Clay Aiken with his new face.
Oh, does he have a new
face? I know. Everybody, I know. There was a thing they showed with his face. I read it like a week ago, and they're like, they don't know if he had surgery or lost or gained weight or something, but something has kind of changed.
I don't know if he had surgery and he has a new face.
Major
I think
car accident and the swelling hasn't gone down yet, but something's going on.
I think they know if he had surgery. If you're saying a different face.
Probably just weight. It's funny. Everybody goes on the dance show, Dancing with the Stars, and loses tons of weight.
The weight gave him face surgery? Is that what you're telling me?
Adam Carolla.
Okay, sure.
We're going to hop over to our old friend Lou Ferrigno, the original Incredible Hulk.
That is fantastic.
Penn Jillette.
I can see him winning.
Pendulette would probably do very, very well. But he also might do lots of tricks and like
just make it seem like he's doing
a lot. I fucked with the other team so bad. Wait till they open their little box. It's gonna blow up in their face. The blood will be everywhere. This will be great.
Make it seem like he's just doing more shit than he's actually doing.
You know that
doing.
He is a straight edge guy. No drinking, no smoking, no nothing. Pendulette is very, very, but he's not like a Bible freak or any of that shit. He's just like, don't fuck with me.
I did not know that.
I won't fuck with you. By the way, I'm a big fan of Penn & Teller. And I went to New York. I saw their refrigerator tour, which was awesome.
Really?
And I saw it like a couple nights, actually, second night. And they come out in intermission and like sign stuff for you.
Oh,
you can
that's
talk
great.
To them and stuff. So I find, and second night, I got to go up on stage.
That's
even
greater.
Because they pick people, but they're kind of plants.
Yeah.
They tell you, here's how to do the trick, and do the trick, we're going to do it this way, and then just do this. And you're like, okay, cool. And I'm kind of in on it.
I assume almost every magician you've ever seen is a plant. You know, when they're pulling people right. out, I'm assuming that's a plant.
Dee Schneider. Rockin'. Unbelievable. Dee Schneider and who's Michael Andretti? Oh, okay.
Sure.
Race car driver, right?
Wouldn't know him if he was wearing a name tag, but
on
sure.
the women's team. You don't know who Mario Andretti is?
I know the name Andretti.
Well, Michael Andretti is probably his son.
Yes. Mario, I may know.
I don't have internet in front of me, but it's probably.
But Mario ain't showing up.
Mario ain't showing up. Tia Carrera. On the women's side, Cheryl Teagues, supermodel.
Oh, she should win something.
Coming back, I should probably do very well and probably really, like, rule the room. Like, no, this is how we do business. Deborah Gibson.
Nice.
Speaking of Sharktopus, Deborah Gibson.
Nice.
And, of course, Lisa Lampanelli.
Oh, she's great. She's hysterical.
What does your note say here? And other people? I don't know. Oh, yeah. That's right. There were additional names, and we were like, who?
Yeah, I don't know who they are.
Sorry to whoever they are. If I ever meet you or work with you, I...
Blame it on me.
Yeah, we'll wait until the mainstream
Lisa
media.
Lisa Lampanelli is fantastic, though, although I'm sure they're going to have to bleep her out of all her funnier shit.
Oh, gosh. And I know how much Donald Trump loves loud, opinionated women.
Yes.
That's
yes,
going to go down does. Really well.
Yes, he does. She was at his roast, I believe. So I'm sure they have some
That's
sort of relationship.
That's where they – she's like, I want to be on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure they have some sort of relationship.
Another – once again, the burn. You're on Celebrity – something, Celebrity Jeopardy, Celebrity Apprentice, Celebrity whatever, Celebrity Big Brother, whatever it is, you don't keep the money.
No.
Freaking charity keeps the money. It's like,
yeah, well, they're getting, you know, they want whatever charity or whatever publicity they can get.
Yeah, yeah. You don't think Arsenio Hall or Clay Aiken or Debbie Gibson?
Or Clay
would,
Aiken.
Like, hey, dude, give me the money.
Yeah.
Charity, charity.
Yeah, Gary Busey may not know there's money.
No.
He may not have known.
He
might have done it for a free sandwich, or he just wandered in and they were like, just keep filming.
I'm shooting a show around the corner, but I gotta come over.
just keep filming. He has no idea. That's not a bad idea.
We love it. We love us some Gary Busey. I grew up, by the way, down the street from Gary Busey.
Did you really?
Yeah. I grew up with his son, Jake. Jake's 2-3 years younger than me. And
how's Jake doing? Is he normal?
He's totally normal. Oh, God. Thank God. He's an absolutely normal guy. But Gary, you know, Gary, great, very, you know, crazy career. I mean, you get nominated for an Oscar when, you know, remember the Buddy Holly story?
Yeah.
You know, huge career. And then he did DC Cab. I was like, dude, the check cleared, I guess.
Aww.
You're in a movie with Mr. T.
I love DC Cab.
No, you didn't love DC Cab.
I did when it was out. DC Cab.
Brody Gus is lying to you right now. I don't know.
DC Cab was fantastic. Well, we are we're getting close to out of time. So question for you. Do you want to... is it worth it to you discussing?
Well, we have some timely news. There's been some breakups, I think, that everybody needs to know about because that means that whatever syphilis is being carried by these celebrities is now free and open in the market. You may not have, but they may have with someone you know. So we have Katy Perry and Russell Brand. Unbelievable. We never saw that coming.
No, I'm assuming she must have finally seen Arthur. Is that
he finally saw her tour. Who is this? Oh, Demi and Ashton. That's right. Oh, yeah. Earlier in the year, the big breakup. Everybody sees it coming. I love how the Inquirer, all those like rag mags.
They're shocked.
They always get it right. They're always like, oh, you know, a tuffle in the, you know, this problem in the relationship months before and everyone denies it. No, everything's fine. And then a couple weeks later, they're like, oh, yeah, we're getting divorced.
Well, that's because usually some photographer said, oops, I accidentally shot a photo of Ashton while he was inside an actress.
That happened. Yes. That's another thing is whatever the story was about, they're all of a sudden they're like as a picture with the little blonde or whatever the fuck they're screwing around with.
Yes.
And
that, who usually gets a career.
And how do you explain that? Oh, honey,
That blonde usually gets a career.
What are you doing at the Ivy with them for lunch? You told me you were going swimming. What the fuck?
But why are you in a public place if you're a celebrity and cheating anyway?
And you're not even working with them. That's might be forgiven. I don't know. But at least you could be having an excuse. I'm like, well, no, we were working on the scenes and rehearsing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's tough.
Zooey Deschanel. And whoever she's married to, that's a great note. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
That he was the lead singer for Death Cab for Cutie.
He was or is?
I don't. A good question.
Thank you. So I go back to whoever the hell she's married to. Yeah. Well,
Financial outlook. She's got some money and doesn't spend it.
That is exactly right. How often does that happen? Somebody gets a show and then all of a sudden their relationship ends. Whoever they're with.
Never happened.
Never happened. I'm assuming Gary Busey, whose fiance and he are on Wife Swap. I'm assuming we can add him to this list.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Oh, instantly. Add him already.
He's on deck for celebrity divorce.
Going. No, and of course, Bill and Hillary still are married.
It depends on your definition of married, but sure. Sure. Sinead O'Connor and whoever she was married to also. They go, I think during this show, they have separated and got back together 4 or 5 times.
Mm.
They like to do that a few times. Did you see, when do you even give a shit about the Iowa caucus?
Not really.
Fair enough.
I mean, no. And you know, I saw the results, but I understand Romney had beat Santorum.
By 8 votes.
Which
literally 8 votes.
Less than the margin of error.
Yes, one station wagon doesn't
like
break down.
20, and they're like, actually, statistically, you could also say that Santorum beat Romney. With the margin of error.
Yes.
It was ridiculous.
Yes. 8 votes.
He got 4 more votes than he got last time.
That's funny.
Is that right?
Yep. And Bachman dropped out, which unfortunately drops out a whole bunch of crazy. But Perry said he was going to drop out, thought about it, said he was going to think about it. He decided he can stay. I think he figures he can probably still hate gays more than Santorum, so he might be able to get
this
some
has
votes.
Been a big platform for his anti-gay. He's been able to spread the word to more TV viewers of how much of a bigot he is.
Yes, yeah, so he and Santorum are going to anti-gay it out, and then the winner of that
is Santorum also anti-gay?
You should Google Santorum when you get a chance.
I have.
That's
I think they've knocked that down. Like, he's gotten so much support.
He's number two.
He's number
two as a frothy mix now. If you Google, anyone out there, Google just the last name, Santorum.
That's what it takes. So if you have a horrible result come up under your vanity Google search, you search for your name and boom. And if something comes up that you really hate, you have to spend millions of dollars on a presidential run to knock it down.
No, I think you have to be so disliked in the first place that that becomes synonymous with your name.
I don't even know what he did. All I know is he's got this wretched description of a frothy
mix. He's anti-gay, anti-sodomy, anti-marriage, anti-same-sex marriage, anti-gay, whatever, for the queer eye for the straight guy. He's anti that show. He's anti whatever. I don't think he liked, name anything gay.
Like Billy Crystal on soap.
He didn't like that at all.
He didn't like that at all.
Did not like it at all.
No, Iowa caucus is tough. That's tough that Perry's still around. I want to see this go down. And this is because what's really funny, I've said this before. Politics is Hollywood for ugly people.
Mm-hmm.
And the money involved and the money for, you know, the president, his reelection, for the candidate, this is going to get ugly coming up to the election. And we got a lot of time to go.
It's going to get ugly in a hurry because all the non-Romney people, all the people that are having their anti-gay fight to see who can get the anti-Romney vote and then they'll all attack him. They're going to go after him now because this is their chance.
Mm.
So, Newt Gingrich and his pet head.
Is Newt still in it?
Newt is still in it.
Newt is still in it.
Newt is still in it.
Oh, great.
So he's going to, he's going to speak.
Where would he par in the whole Romney Santorum thing?
He dropped.
Right. He was doing really well right before the actual count.
Yes. And then he was dumb enough. And this shocks me that you can be in politics and say this. He said this like 3 weeks ago. He looked at the camera and said, well, it'd be hard to look at the numbers and assume I'm not going to be the nominee before the first caucus. Before the first caucus, he went from first in the polls to, I believe it was fourth.
But you know what? The iCrack is also going to be bullshit. I mean,
that was his best
the
chance.
Ultimate winner or whatever chance. Of the election is often not the person that won the Iowa caucus. I mean, that happens more often than not.
That is true, but that was his chance to be the guy to win it and not end up getting the nominee.
Well, we'll see.
Now he ended up not winning that and basically dropping to fourth. And
what do you think of Obama becoming a dictator and like trying to appoint people or like get things passed and like create jobs? God, what an evil dictator, right?
Yeah, exactly. Although if you look at the actual numbers, he has done less.
Reagan had 224. Exactly. He's had like 60 or something. I saw those numbers and I was like, oh, they make him sound like why do they say liberal controlled media? Because for some reason these memes get out there and I hear these ideas of like, God, he's just, you know, trying to ram it in. It's like other presidents did it so many, you know, worse. You didn't say shit to them.
Well, you say liberal media when they don't agree with you. You say when they ask you a question like, what do you read? And you can't answer that. You call it a gotcha question.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, that's kind of why Newt does well, by the way, is whenever they would ask him a question, he just gets angry at the guy asking the question. He tells them, yeah, what? That's a stupid question. That's a gotcha question. I expect more. You people are idiots.
He'd make a great White House press secretary.
Like a bulldog, a good bulldog.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for listening, everybody, tonight. We are going to wrap it up. This has been a great show. We really thank our callers for calling in. Makes a great part of the show. We want you guys to continue doing that.
Seinfeld. That's the one I'm putting on.
Seinfeld is a fine show.
This will be an ongoing list.
The greatest shows on television ever. Seinfeld's got to be in the top five, no?
Yeah. That
we're going to have to make like a top five, top ten once we get this list going. And you callers, thank you for calling in. Adding to it, we'll be building throughout the year. We are doing this radio show weekly. Saturday nights, 8 o'clock live. Thanks for listening. We replay it on Sundays as well. What time, 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock on Sundays, we replay that previous night. So if you're listening on Sunday, and you've already tried to call in on the live show.
We're not ignoring
Saturday
you.
We're not ignoring you. That phone ringing off the hook or you get a weird show that's not us because we're on live. Saturday nights, 8 o'clock. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thanks for your help, Gus.
No worries. Thank you very much, buddy. I will see you next week.
And to play you out, we've got more music by Jeff Fiorentino at jfrocks.com. By the way, if you want to learn how to play any of this music, he's got all these great lessons and all this incredible instruction and video all for free. Go on at jfrocks.com and here's a little bit more by Jeff Fiorentino. Yes, Gus?
Before we go, sorry, can you give me a quick Let's Go Giants? I got a big Giant game tomorrow.
Let's go Giants!
That's all I want to hear. Right, I know you don't give a shit,
but I want to hear. No, I don't. I really don't give a shit.
All I need,
but
all I need
totally
is fake
support
enthusiasm.
You and your team. I want to.
Jeremy, give me a Let's Go Giants, buddy.
Let's Go Giants.
Thank you very much.
All right, good night. Thanks for listening, everybody.